So I have a question for you. Are you a jar gatherer? Now, my grandmother was from Mississippi, and she had all these mason jars that she used to have in her, Ali, you're shaking your head, from the country in the mountains, and she used to put all the preserves and everything. She would make all the good stuff in these jars, and every time you would go to grandmother's house, she had these jars full of this stuff, and I thought her jars were endless, because every time I went, there were more and more jars. There's something about good versus God. And I talked about a little bit about that this morning. We can do good things for people, and we are supposed to do good things for people. You know that? But sometimes we think we're doing God things when it's only good things. I don't think helping anybody is ever a bad thing. And what I said earlier, it's okay if God leaves it on your heart to help someone. But sometimes there are times that when we do something for another person, we actually cheat them out of their intense encounter with God. Now, parents, you know the pain that's going to be caused, so you stop them from doing it. But when they get older, there's a time when you can't do that. And as much as you really would love to do that, they have to experience that for themselves. It's the same thing when it comes to God. Some of you might have heard about God from your parents. You know, how many of you were raised in the church? Okay, so the majority of you. I wasn't, so for me, I had no concept. But if you've heard about church, there's a temptation or actually a pit to just kind of go on what you've heard and not of what you've experienced yourself. I've heard these things, so I just think these are what's going to happen. I mean, my whole life I've heard, you know, when you go to heaven, you become an angel. I heard that. Anybody heard that? You know that's not true, right? But a lot of people still think, oh, when they die, they're my angel. Well, no, they're not. You know, they're angels that God has. Now, they're up there and they can see you. And I think Johnny was there for his funeral. That was the neatest thing that took place. When your phone rang, it was amazing. I mean, I think that Johnny is absolutely looking down and knows everything going on. But he's not really an angel. He's more than that. He's a redeemed creature who's in heaven. So he's got the fullness. Somebody, we were talking recently about that the angels are probably going to ask us, what was it like to be redeemed? You see, they don't know that. I mean, that's only something that we as humans can experience, what it's like to be lost and then be paid for by the blood of Jesus. That's powerful. The angels don't even understand that because they haven't had that experience. But those of us who have had that encounter with Jesus, we have had that experience. And it's an amazing, transforming. It takes you from one kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. You know, you were born into a kingdom of darkness. And then, through the blood, you were transformed into the kingdom of light. That's powerful. Every one of you are glory carriers if you've accepted Jesus. You have that light inside of you. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. And Paul says it will quicken your mortal body when it's time. But it still lives in you. That resurrection power lives in you right now. My prayer today is that your faith is activated. Growing up in New Orleans, and I'm sure other places, we loved fireworks. I used to love, I didn't like the loud ones. I hated the, you know, I like the pretty ones, of course. Forget the firecrackers, give me the beautiful ones with the color. But I used to love the smoke bombs. You know what a smoke bomb is? Because they had the pretty blue colors and the red colors. And I used to collect all of these fireworks and line them up. And they were pretty. But they never did anything until they were activated. Until that fuse was lit, they never ever did anything. They were just lined up looking pretty. But once the fire hit that fuse, then the activation took place, and that's when the smoke would fill the room. Now, in the Old Testament, the smoke would fill the room when the presence of God came in. You have that presence inside of you. So if we can allow the Holy Spirit to activate your fuse, then you will permeate every part and every room you walk into with the smoke of the Holy Spirit. It's all about activating your faith. Some of you look past at things that have taken place in your life, and you say, okay, I remember when, but now nothing's happening. Well, let me tell you, it's time to activate your faith. We're going through something right now. Ed is in, but he's in a boot. Not the nice kind of boots, you know. The boot that for broken, he has two fractures. We found out Friday he has, from the MRI, he has two fractures. So it's good and bad. I know, you know, it's bad because he's here at Brook Lane, but it's good because he's a flight attendant, and I've had him home for the last few weeks, which has been nice. But our biggest concern is, of course, the pay, because when he flies and when he gets his per diem and all the extra money and all this stuff. But that's the one thought. But at the same time, I'm like, so God, I'm excited to see how you're going to get through this. What are you going to do in this challenge? You see, there's two trains of thought saying, oh, no, what am I going to do? Or, wow, God, how are you going to do it this time? Exactly. You see, there's a difference between living in the natural and then living in the spirit. There's a difference in living in the world and living by faith. I have faith that God is going to supersede anything I can even think of. That's activating our faith. In 1 Kings chapter 4, this took place with a woman. It says, one day the wife of a man from the group of the prophets called out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was, devoted to God, and now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my children as slaves. I think you have it bad. Elisha said, how can I be of help? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Nothing, she said. Well, I do have a little oil. Say, a little oil. Remember that. Here's what you do, said Elisha. Go up and down the streets and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors, and not just a few. All you can get. Then come home and shut the door behind you. Pour oil into each container, and when each is full, set it aside. And she's probably thinking, okay, this is making no sense. But she left him, she still did it, and afterwards shut the door behind her with her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. Say, kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left in the house that is not full. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told Elijah what happened, and he said, go sell the oil and pay off your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. Now, Father, right now, I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you are the oil. And, Jesus, you are the payment for our debt. And, Father, you have brought them together in the mighty body of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us, died and rose again so that we might have eternal life. I pray that you just get your message across. Move me out of the way, and you go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this woman was a good woman. Her husband used to be a prophet, so he hung around with Elisha. So you know she knew what it was like to serve the Lord. You know she had seen God do miracles. She heard God's voice. Yet here she was with a little oil, and her debt was larger than what she had to pay, and they were going to come take her sons. But let me tell you, nothing will activate your faith unless you know one of your kids is going to be hurt or taken. Spiritually, the same thing takes place. Our faith is activated when we know some of those people here in our church are being robbed by the devil, or they are enslaving them. And we have the spiritual parents in this church feel that same thing. And we go to fight and battle in the spirit for you. But it's got to be done in faith, not in the natural. So Carrie Reynolds is not here today. She taught our home group on Wednesday night. She's a math teacher. Anybody else teach math? Oh, so Kate teaches math. So you can answer this. Math quiz. Oh, she's like, great. Okay, 100 plus 100 equals. Wow, very good. That Georgia education paying off. Praise God. Okay, so we call this a human perspective. So you have 100 plus 100, it equals 200. Now let's do this one. This is 100 times 100 equals. That's right. 10,000. I had to actually add it up, so that's the Louisiana education paid off for me. 10,000. Now, this is God's perspective. You see, we look with addition eyes. God looks with multiplication eyes. The book that we're studying is called Multiply. So we're not going to see things through addition. I'm so glad he didn't say addition. A study in addition book. He is studying a multiplication book. You have the same two numbers, but with God as the in the equation, it multiplies and equals 100 times. It's multiplication. That's what it's all about. Multiplying disciples, multiplying gifts, multiplying talent, multiplying churches. It's all about all of this for Jesus and his kingdom. Say multiplication. Now, do you want to live in a world of addition or multiplication? Multiplication. Exponential multiplication. The human perspective says, use your own resources and reason. Depend on what you have to meet your needs. So you're saying, I know what I have in the bank. This is why what I can do for God. That's addition. It limits God based on what you have. God's perspective says, I will take care of you and multiply exponentially. Little is much in the hands of God. As a matter of fact, he likes little. He likes little things. You don't need an abundance when you come to God. He'll take just a smidgen, a drop of oil, and say, let me tell you, I will multiply this. It's faith that activates what we have in God's presence. If you get that perspective, you're going to say, oh, wow, this is not just a hardship. This is a place that I can actually have a Ebenezer moment, a monument moment where God can show off and multiply. He can and will multiply every area of life. Time. Dana, I'm sure you struggle with this so much. You are a vice president, not of the country, but of a company, and you've got kids, and you travel, and she's, you know, homes, and you're moving, and your parent, and your mom, and all this. And I'm sure you say, time, how can I do this? John Wesley said this, I have too little time to not pray more. It works. If you say, I don't have enough time in the day, carve out 30 minutes to pray. Let me tell you, something happens in the spirit. At the end of the day, you're like, wow, I had more time than I thought I did. It really, really works. If you just carve out a time and pray, it's going to multiply. I think about Matthew. Bless you. Matthew with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, what does 5 loaves and 2 fish equal? 7? I guess not enough. But 5,000 were fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish. And not only 5,000 were fed, how many baskets were picked up? Do you know? 12. I love how Jesus does things because there's always meaning behind what he says. 12 wasn't just a number he picked out. There were 12 disciples. And he's saying every basket, they carried the bread. He was the bread. Every basket represented one of those disciples there because he was the bread of life, and they would go and feed people after that. You see, it's all about, we focus on the 5 loaves and 2 fish. How are we going to feed this crowd? And he said, not just that. What about after the crowd? More and more and more. You're going to have that bread of life to carry wherever you go to feed people. That's multiplication. Let's go back to the story. 1 Kings 4. One day the wife of a man from the group of a prophets called out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was. So he was a good man. He wasn't a bad prophet. Devoted to God, and now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my 2 children as slaves. What do you do? When bad things happen to good people, this is what a jar gatherer does. The first thing, realize that the solution begins with what you do have, not with what you don't have. So there's going to be 4 points. Write them down if you want. Because we focus on what we don't have. Oh, I don't have enough. God's saying, but what do you have? Well, I just have a few things. That's what he wants us to focus on, because he can multiply that. We look at the natural. He looks at the spiritual. Well, you know, I can't really do much. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't teach. Maybe you can greet. Maybe you can greet. So, you know, Pastor Keith, I would like to maybe help with the greeting. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in, and you don't know what they're going through, but when they see you, and you're smiling, and you're welcoming them, all of a sudden, the fears, it's hard to come to this church. Was it hard to come here this morning and not know anybody? Honestly, yes. Okay, and you guys knew us. I mean, we have visitors here. It's hard to come into a new group. You guys are intimidating. You don't think you are, but you are, because you know why? Because you love each other, and you're close. So all of a sudden, you see people coming in there, and it's great. We have people that are asking how your day was, how's work going, what's going on, and it's intimidating if you're new to come in into that. So that one person says, you know what, I know how to greet, I can do that. And I'm not saying you have to even officially be a greeter at the door. You might just be in here, and when you see somebody new, go and say, hey, how are you? I'm Keith, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, is that your husband? Oh, nice to meet you. You know, you kind of just be used with the little that you have, and God is going to multiply that. So focus on what you do have, not on what you don't have. Let's look at the next verse. Elisha said, I wonder how I can be of help. Now, you know he knew. He's a prophet. He could have said, you know what? Go back and you're going to have oil. But he didn't. This is where we mess up, by getting in the way and sometimes meeting the need instead of letting God do it through their faith. Our good-hearted nature can mess us up sometimes as pastors. You know that? We get into that soulish realm where we want to fix it. In our heart, we want to do it. And God is saying, you are stopping an encounter with me by doing that. You point them to the way, but you let them go to God through faith. Those people that are coming to you, they're not there for you to fix them. All they're coming to you for is for you to say, I know who can fix you. And his name is Jesus, and go to him. Nothing, she said. Well, I love this. I do have a little oil. Oh, I love that. A little oil. Do you know how much a little oil can be in the Old Testament especially? That represents the Holy Spirit. That's why when we pray for people, we have the oil here. You know, it says in James 5, to bring them forth, anoint them with oil. And we do it nicely. We just put a dab. We don't cover you with oil. It's nothing magic, and it's not holy oil that we pray over, and, you know, from Italy we bring it here and all that stuff. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but she had a little oil. That was what God needed for her to use. The next one, a jar gatherer will say, be willing to do whatever it takes. And let me tell you, when your kids are going to be taken as slaves, you're going to be willing to do whatever it takes to get them free. When you see people spiritually that are slaves, we should be willing to do whatever it takes to free them, to help free them. The next verse, here's what you do. So Elijah's saying, all right, this is what you do. Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all of your neighbors. It's important that he said this, because don't you think her neighbors were asking, what are you doing? Why do you need jars and bowls? Well, I don't know. I have a little oil, and apparently I'm going to need this. Whew, powerful. You see, it's okay to share struggles that you're going through, because then God can show up and show up not to you, but to those who know about what's going on in your life. So she's going to all of her neighbors saying, you know what? I need jars. God's going to provide. You know what? I need jars because I know God's going to provide. I have a word. God has said he's going to provide. I need jars. Her neighbor's probably saying, you're crazy, but here, get away from me. Go, 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 go. Or you might have those saying, wow, I want to see what happens. Or, you know, oh, she's nuts. I hope this doesn't happen. I mean, sometimes we have that as well. This morning, I was pulling out roots. You ever pull out roots? But I was going through my heart. So I'm thinking, why am I having this reaction to somebody? There's a certain person that's really been irritating me. But I was praying, and I said, why is this taking place? Because I have this feeling, and it's hard as a pastor to have a feeling where you're really, like, not loving this person. I'm being real. Is this okay? Yeah. But let me tell you, there are some people that I just have a hard time loving, as do you. And I said, God, that's a surface issue. What's the root? And he got back to something that I had in my childhood that this person actually reminds me of when I was beat up or bullied as a kid. And I'm like, wow, this was this morning before I preach. Because I said, God, I want to pull up some roots. Give me some roots. And man, I saw that so clearly. I'm like, oh, when I was like in sixth grade, this kid just bullied me. And this person reminds me of that person. And I said, okay, now I take that root out by the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I can't wait to see this person. Because I believe it's going to be completely different. You see, there are roots inside of our life that the Holy Spirit wants to remove from past. Especially religious roots. Church roots. Things that have taken place in the past where you've been hurt or you have these thoughts. And those are roots. And the devil loves the roots to be there because all of a sudden they produce weeds in the midst of the real plants and the real fruit. I had like 5 minutes and I'm like, God. And that person was on my mind. I'm thinking, I'm praying for this person. I'm being really, really real today. I know Pastor Gina would never feel this way. Pastor Jonathan, it's just me. But praise God, I don't now. Because I addressed the root. And it really wasn't anything the person was doing. It was just that person so reminded me of that other person. There are things that might take place where you're saying, why do I just have this feeling about this person? And it may be a root there. That's just what we call lanyap in New Orleans. But she's going up and down and she's getting these bowls. The third response is, believe that God will show up. Hebrews 11:6 says, without what? Faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith, you can't please Him. Well, Pastor Keith, I don't have a lot of faith. It doesn't take a lot. It's a little. As long as you believe He's able to do it. Some of you might believe He's able to do it for Sheena, but not for you. That's okay. That's a start. Say, God, I know You can do it for her. I want to know You can do it for me. That's a start. He likes that. He's all about developing a relationship with you, not about being perfect. I had that conversation with somebody this week, and she's in Florida, and she's come to the church before they moved, but she's like, you know, I just really feel God calling me to ministry. And she said, and I just don't, but I have this struggle because I have, you know, I feel like I'm not good enough, I can do these things. I said, you're a perfect candidate. You are a perfect candidate for ministry because you know you can't do it in your own strength. They should teach this in Bible college, but they don't. As a matter of fact, I think they should teach a class that says, you will not be able to do it. That should be the first class that they teach us. Instead of preaching 101 and power perception and all this, it should be, you can't do it, 101, but He can. It's knowing that He's the one that's going to do it. I think about Moses. Oh, we think Moses because we think of Charlton Heston and Moses, the Ten Commandments, and how great of a man he was. He probably wasn't very tall. We don't know how tall he was, but you see this big man. He stuttered. I mean, God chose the person to speak His word who stuttered. I love it. And he was so fearful that he said, I'm gonna get my brother Aaron to help. Because he didn't realize God will take a little and do much. He takes those things that are weak and makes us strong. So he got Aaron. And Aaron could speak. But Aaron also helped build a golden calf. Hijacked completely the vision God had. Because Aaron could speak. Moses couldn't. But God called Moses, not Aaron. You see, in your life, He may be calling you to do things, and you're looking and saying, I don't have what it takes. Yes, you do. And His name is Jesus. Period. Amen? Next verse. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. I love this one. She shut the door. Sometimes we have to get out of all the distraction and go in with God and say, God, it's just me and you. And shut that door behind you. Not what friends are thinking. Not what people are saying. Not what your pastor's telling you. Just you and God. And shut that door behind you. That's where He meets us. Face to face. The Holy Spirit moves corporately a lot in worship. And it's wonderful. But let me tell you. He really moves intimately when it's just you and Him. Face to face. That's what changed Moses. He wasn't with the whole group on the mountain. It was just him and God. And when he came down, he actually glowed. because he was in the presence of God. They had to put a veil over him because they couldn't look at him. Oh, don't you want that? Just God, me and you, I want to glow for you this week. I shut that door behind me, and God, I just want to glow for you. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings, to know you intimately. And then when you go out, wow, what's going on with you? You look amazing. I remember we were taking a trip several years ago in California, driving up the Pacific Coast Highway, and we overnighted at, I think it was a Comfort Inn. And they have breakfast, which is nice, right? So we come out in Santa Barbara. We come out, and I see this woman getting orange juice out of the machine. And I just see her. She's glowing. I mean, to me, spiritually, she was glowing. And I said, I have to go tell her something. I was like, oh, no. And so she sat down with the whole group, and I said, I just have to tell you, I know you're a Christian believer. And she smiled. She said, I am. I said, you were glowing. You were glowing, and I could just see. I mean, I just had to tell her, and that I can see that encouraged her. But she was like, I love the Lord with all my heart. And I said, and it shows. You see, that's the difference when you spend time with God. That's the difference when you're face to face with Him. There's that Holy Spirit. It's not you. You're just the vessel that He's glowing through. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. There's times you want to stop saying, okay, this is enough. But you have to keep pouring. Keep doing it. It may be hard. It may, listen, lifting that jar over and over again and that oil over again. Oh, it's hard, Pastor Keith. It's hard. But there's more jars that he wants to fill in your life. Bring me, then she said, when all the jars were full, she said to her sons, bring me another one. I love this. She wasn't even counting the jars. Her mind and heart was so focused on pouring that she had no idea how much was left. Her heart and mind were focused on the oil and that source. That's all she could think about. I need to fill this door. Next, I need to fill this door. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill this door. Imagine what's going through her head. She had no oil, a little. Now, every vessel that she's got, she's filling. She's not saying, how many more we have left? She's just concentrating on filling that jar. That's our job. To let us pour the oil into the areas of our life or into other people. Because he's the oil. But he replied, there's not a jar left in the house that is not full. Oh, I wish we could say that. The fourth thing, honor God with the results. You see, this is where we always trip up. We might go through this whole process, and then it becomes our testimony. But you might say, I'm going to write a book about this thing that took place. That's a great thing. But is it just because you want to write a book about your testimony, or is it because I want to tell everybody what God has done in my life? Your book is about you, but it's all about what God has done in your life. That's the difference. I mean, I read a lot of books. I'm thinking, gosh, this is great, but I don't really remember them pointing me to God. You, from the beginning, this album has not been about Deb. It's been about God from the beginning. Do you know when Pastor Deb came to this church? I'm going to say this. A lot of people don't know this. We were in the other building. Do you know what her first position on the worship team was? She played the drums. She didn't sing. She was back there playing the drums faithfully over and over again. And it wasn't until one Sunday after church, Pastor Jenny and I were in the office, and we heard Deb and a few other people singing. We're like, wow, our drummer can sing. You see, she didn't come to me and say, you know, Pastor Keith, I sing. I do these things. You might have mentioned that you do drums. I don't remember. But it wasn't about her. That's why God is going to bless this CD. Because it's been about him from the beginning. I can't say that about a lot of others out there, right? I don't want a plane. I'm just going to be honest. That angers me more than anything else. That's what Jesus did in the temple when he turned over the tables and the chairs. And not only does it bring reproach there, it brings reproach on all of us as Christians and pastors. If I ever ask for a plane, fire me. Amen? Let me get back. This is a side note. But it's all about honoring God with the results. You see, that oil allowed her to pay off her debt and free her sons. The Holy Spirit allows you, because you come to know Jesus by the Holy Spirit, to pay off your debt and free your spiritual sons. You might say, I have no kids. Do it in the spiritual way. I mean, I look back and I think of what God's done in my life, and I've been a youth pastor, and I've been a regular pastor in a regular church, and now I'm pastoring you guys, and I think of you guys as spiritual children in some ways, and some of you more mature in the Lord, more mature than I am. But still, I want to give you whatever oil I have left over. Because we're all in this together. You're not alone. In your faith walk, you're not alone. I love Pastor Jonathan. There's something about you that's so endearing, yet there's something about you that is so humble but genuine that you don't find in a lot of people. I never, ever worry that there's a reason or a motive that I'm not seeing behind what when he's talking to me. And I can't say that about a lot of people. Not that people are always scheming, but sometimes there's always a motive. Somebody tells me something in the back of my head, I'm saying, God, give me discernment. What is this really about? And I never see that with him. And that's a refreshing thing. When he's going through a trial or going through tribulations, and he's getting that all for himself, I just think it's pure oil when he's ministering. The anointing comes from oil. Because the Holy Spirit represents oil. When you put the olives in the olive press, it squeezes every olive to get the oil out. You ever felt like you've been squeezed by God? Now, the temptation is to put it in and crush the olives, but then you get pieces of the olive in there. God's process is to squeeze us to get every drop of oil out. He is always about the process. Always about the process, because he wants pure oil. So there's some things going on in our life right now that maybe God is saying, you know what? I'm trying to get to the pure oil. I'm trying to get to the real you in God and none of this other stuff. That is really how you fill your jar with oil. You want that pure oil. You don't want pieces of the olive. You know what they call that? The flesh of the olive. We don't want pieces of flesh in the oil. We want pure oil. You might say, Pastor Keith, my drawer's not going to get filled that quickly. All it takes is a little oil, is what she said. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you, God, fill us with every need. And with every need, we know we will be filled by you. I pray specifically for those who are right now struggling with things in their life, and are saying, I don't really know what God's doing. I don't really understand what God's doing. All I know is I'm being squeezed every direction, almost like you're being pulled in 1,000 different ways. Right now, pull them in, Father. What I'm seeing is just like lines coming from a circle, and those lines get thinner and thinner and thinner because they're going so far out, and now I'm seeing a hand of God just pushing those lines closer to the center, closer to the center. Closer to the core, you just need a little oil. That's where the real source of the oil is.